from the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Phone for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud. We're going to talk some hockey, some sports. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, tuning in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify platforms, all bunch of platforms. So whatever to your liking, whatever is your preference, put in the Bleed Blue Show and listen to the archive episodes here with Ranger Proud, myself, talking hockey, man. So we got our last week, full week of episodes this week, heading into our quarterly bye week. We usually do these right before Memorial Day and Labor Day weekend. And so getting off to heading into our break when it comes to this, wanted to give shout-outs to all the fans, all the Ranger fans. I know they've been anxious. They've been patiently waiting as far as the hockey of this off season per se. But we talked about last week. I thought it was a good episode with RP talking with Jesper Fast, Brandon Lemieux, and Hank Lundqvist. But this week, I look forward to the dialogue with RP. The Ring Podcast for Ranger Proud, get RP on and get his thoughts on whatever Rangers he'd like to discuss this week. As like we said, this is the last full week of episodes before we head into our bye week. The next hockey episode will be the Tuesday after Labor Day. After this episode, bring on Ranger Proud. RP, what's going on, my man? How's everything?
Good, everybody. How's it going tonight? What's going on?
What's going on, man? What's up, dude? All good?
Good thing next week's a bye week, because that's what I was going to tell everybody. Is next week I'll be in Disney, so we won't be around. So it kind of worked out better than I thought.
Oh, man. Yeah, all right.
The daughter's sweet 16. It's a good week to go. There's nothing going on in hockey.
that's the reason why we do these bye weeks, man. You got to take a break and you got to go enjoy time with your family and friends. Got to recharge.
Recharge a little bit, because I tell you, writing-wise, it's getting a little crazy. It's just running out of things to discuss, because it's going around a lot in the NHL. It's just a real, real quiet time right now. No big trades. No one's signing any restricted free agents yet. There's still like 20 big names out there. There's only so much that we could talk about Owl Boys, because nothing's really changed. Nothing's gone on. It's
right.
Real unusual.
And by the way, because when we get back to Tuesday after Labor Day, we'll be back. We can not only just get into the rest of the players on the roster, but get into some preseason hockey a little bit after that for the month of September.
Yeah.
And regular season starts at the beginning of October. So yeah, I mean,
yeah,
that's exciting
this year.
Yeah.
September 18th. September 18th, the Rangers start preseason, and then those six games in 2 weeks, and then the Rangers start up October 3rd against Winnipeg at home. So we'll have some good stuff to talk about.
Indeed, indeed. Without a doubt. So who would you like to discuss? You pick a Ranger, I'll pick a Ranger, and then we'll go from there, man. Who would you like to roll with tonight?
Who haven't we spoken about?
Let's see. Who have we not? I don't
who
think
have
Bush
we not really...
I don't think Buchnevich is on the table yet.
Buchnevich.
That I remember.
There's someone we could pick on, Buchnevich.
All right.
Signed a nice little extension. Signed his two-year contract. Had a decent season last year. Really started to come around. Personally, I think he's going to have a great year just having Panarin on the team. He doesn't even have to be on the same line as Panarin. I think Panarin's going to be the kind of guy that makes everybody better. I've said that before. And this needs to be the year that Buchnevich shows us what he's got from beginning to end, looking for that real consistent season. At least we're hoping to see a real consistent season out of him. He, you know, he's a good hockey player. He sometimes gets into these little ruts where he looks a little lost on the ice, or he makes stupid mistakes and you're like, how and why? But he's still, you know, a relatively young kid. He, you know, battled the learning process a little bit, but he had a good season last year. He appeared in 64 games, 21 goals, 38 points. He was averaging around 15 minutes a game. I got to tell you, Steve, I like to see that get up to like the 18-minute mark. I like to see him hit the 25-goal mark this season. I would really like him to see him hit 50 points. That would be a huge jump. I don't know if he's going to find 12 or more points. He should. He definitely has the skill. But he hasn't been scoring at the clip that many thought he would be. I mean, for his career, he's only got 43. So I don't know. I think it's a confidence thing. He tends to squeeze the stick and kind of pressures himself a little bit too much in key situations. But he's got such speed. And he is a really good hockey player. He's a solid passer. He's a little bit work on his own end, but a lot of guys do. So I don't know. What do you think, Steve? 50 points too much to ask of out of him this year? Was it his fourth
How many
season
points
in the league now?
What was
I like
that?
To see
How
him hit
points?
The 50 mark. 50. It'll be his third year. He's 23 years old right now. The most he's had in a season. I mean, he could do it. He had 43 in the 17-18 season. He had 14 and 29 for 43 points in 74 games. Now, this year, he played 10 years. He played 10 games less.
10 games less.
And he had about 10 games less, and he had 38 points as opposed to 43
the
year
before. I say yes.
I think if he gets the ice time in the games, I think if he doesn't get in his own head, I think you could see 50. I think if we can get him to score some power play goals, because, you know, he might see some power play time or some more power play time now. I think 50 is a goal. I think it's a legitimate number to ask him out of him.
Yeah, if he plays
crazy.
The majority of games, if he plays like about 70 games out of 82, yeah, absolutely he could get there. If he plays on the top line, it's majority of the top line. That means he's going to see a lot more time on the ice. So if he's up there with Zibanejad and Panarin, you would think he's the opposite forward of Panarin on that top line, and he plays the majority of the season on there. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
And I tell you, I see him. He needs to play 78, 80 games. There's no reason for him to be on the bench. So he's got to stop making those mistakes, those little miscues that cost goals against him, and going not against what the coaching staff says, but maybe just not paying attention to what the coaching staff says. He needs to be playing in these games. Putting him on the bench for whatever reason or sitting him in the stands because he's making mistakes or he's not doing it, that hurts the team more. He needs to be on the ice. So, you know, never mind 50 points. I want to see him hit that 78. You know, I'm not, if he has an injury, obviously that's something that we're not talking about. But if injury put aside, just from an everyday playing standpoint, he needs to be in that 78 game range. You know, some players are tired, back to back games. You know, that's going to happen. Not everybody plays 82. It's hard. But, you know, missing 5 or 6 games is probably all you can really stand to lose with him if you want to get to that point number.
Right. I mean, I think at right wing, he's going to play, he could be a very beneficiary of the Mika Zibanejad, whose assist probably could climb. Go, you know, we talked about him on the prior episode weeks ago. He's going to play with an elite scorer in Panarin on one side, and that's probably going to, with all the attention probably going to it, Panarin, and maybe Panarin having these jitters, he could probably possibly have jitters. I mean, that's how it is when you come
will.
To Madison Square Garden. I mean, when, you know, it's one thing playing in the United Center. That's not chump change or playing in Columbus, but when you go to, you know, to the Garden and teams are honing in on you because they know that you just had the big contract, this probably could open things up for Pavel Buchnevich, especially at right wing, especially with Zibanejad, who's a righty as well, pass it to a lefty shot in Buchnevich. I could see a lot of whether it's not him scoring actual goals, but definitely scoring opportunities, going to build his confidence. And I think that's what it is with Pavel Buchnevich. It's all about confidence, man. We talked about that with a lot of Rangers on this team, but I think this is, especially like you say, going to another season, which is his fourth season, I think. So this is I would say make or break, but this is the reason why the Rangers didn't want to go through the arbitration with him. They wanted to get him signed for a good value, and this is, I think, He's at a right age, at the age of 24. He's a good size for an NHL player, and the production could definitely increase, especially with the what we saw out of Zibanejad and especially Panarin. I mean, if you want to look at the power play situation, that could only help because we need all the help we could get on that unit, on the first power play unit. And then if you're talking about as far as even strength, I mean, this could probably be an underrated unit within the division. I mean, there's other teams within the division are probably better, but I don't think you can now sleep on the Rangers as far as a first line unit that you can't just go to sleep on. I mean, I'm not saying that no teams go to sleep on, but the Rangers have definitely improved, and I think Pavel Buchnevich could definitely, if he could raise his game, keep his head in the game, and especially he's going to be in the right position for shots. I think he could really excel, RP. I really do.
I hope so.
Definitely
need his goal scoring.
So we're talking about, you want to, if you're saying 50 points, and he was at what, how many last year? 40,
38,
39?
30,
38. 30, so are you really
asking? Yeah, 38.
For, I mean, however you want to do, you could just bump up your goals for another four or five goals.
Bump up the goals, bump up the assist, sure.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit more ice time, you know, maybe a more consistent shots on goal, a more scoring, you know, if he gets himself these scoring opportunities. He can definitely finish, so we know that's not an issue when he gets the opportunity. He just needs to get himself in there more. But, you know, he gets his shots and all, so I can't see why he couldn't do it. I think this is that year, you know, we keep talking about players that have that to take the next step, the breakout season. This will be his fourth season. He's got a new two-year contract. He's played 179 games already. This is his time to shine.
Absolutely, without a doubt. Without a doubt. What about as far as getting into, you know, his physicality? How do you feel as far as not just being an offensive guy? What about him being more defensive-minded, if anything?
Defensive-minded, absolutely. Hitting is definitely not his game. It's some players, it's just not there in their repertoire. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll take the body here and there, but you can't be looking for him to be making a big hit. He's not the big box shot guy. I mean, last year he only blocked 20 shots. He only had 60 hits in 64 games. So what is
that?
A hit a game. And some players, it's just not in the repertoire. So I don't have a problem with that because you know what you're going to get, you know, when he plays game in and game out. So that's just what you have to deal with. It's just something you kind of take off the table. But on the flip side to that, you want to see goal production, you want to see better defensive style of play and you know, and like that. I mean, you want to talk about just to compare Panarin last year, he only had 14 hits. So for some players, it's just not in their repertoire. It's just not what they do. They stay away from the contact. That's where they can get open and get scoring opportunities or make scoring opportunities instead of getting caught up throwing the body around. So that's just not Buchnevich's game.
Right, pretty much. Offensively, we know what he has been. He's been pretty decent. You could just go back to a couple of plays last year. If not mistaken, Mika Zibanejad, there was one time, and I'm just looking at his scoring skill set, how Mika Zibanejad sets him up beautifully in a couple of these games last year, like the St. Louis game. If you go back to the Philadelphia game, you know, him – I remember within that first minute of the game, getting on the scoreboard. Or if you look at his forehand, his backhands. I mean, his backhands in the Minnesota game when he was on the road and we were getting crushed. I mean, I just look at little things like that as far as he has a different ways to get the job done. And the fact that he's a different weapon, and his one-timer is probably his best weapon. I mean, he has a good backhand. He could definitely score when it's even strength or a power play, but he has a decent one-timer, man. Is there a particular style of shot that he brings that you would like to see him work on, or that you see that it's already sharp and iron sharpens iron, or like what you want to see better from Buchnevich as far as his scoring repertoire?
Well, that's a tough question. It's not so much your shot, getting the shot and taking the shot. He tends to pull back a little bit, and he needs to attack the net more. And he's got a great slap shot. He's got a really solid snap shot. He can hit the corners. But sometimes he's hesitant. I don't know why. Sometimes he'll look to pass, or he'll think he has to get in a little bit closer and the defender catches up to him. So I think that's something that he's going to have to work on. I wouldn't say there's a particular shot. You know, it's not like a defenseman when I would say, well, he needs to get whatever shot he uses on goal. He just needs to be a little bit more aggressive and think a little bit less on the ice. Sometimes you need to be part of the play more than watching the play. You know, the people should be watching you. You shouldn't be watching the play develop. And that's something the team's going to get used to with a guy like Panarin on the ice and Kaapo Kakko on the ice, because these guys are playmakers. And they need to remember, damn, I need to be in the play, not watching the play. And when you do that, you get more scoring opportunities. You become a more aggressive player with more confidence. So that's what I think he needs to work more on than for me to say a better shot.
Mm-hmm. And I could see a lot of the things open up for the weak side. Caroms off the left or right goalie pad. Let's say we get a slap shot from Zibanejad or Panarin from the goaltender's right, the player's left side, and if things Carom, if you have a good screen or another maybe a defenseman, who knows who's going to probably be out there without being in the restricted area of the goaltender. I mean, there's going to be a couple. I could see a few more. I think he had a couple last year, you know, wide open rebound attempts and just put it right in. I think we could see a little bit more out of Buchnevich, man, because
absolutely,
if these guys stay healthy, this should open it up, and this is why I think his goals or his points in total, I don't want to look one-track mind as far as goals, his points should increase. That should definitely help us plus-minus, because for a long time, the Rangers' top line, a lot of these guys, they've been outplayed. This should help his individual stats. This should help the team stats all around. This is I cannot see how this is not a win-win, unless there's a falling out with the coach that I'm not seeing. I don't know. Maybe there is a part in the game where his head is not in the game, and that's a coach where Quinn has to be on top of him. How he responds, and hopefully this doesn't, you know, I don't think it's going to be in the negative as far as him not responding well to the head coach's instructions. All I'm trying to say is let's hope that this plays out very, very well for Buchnevich. And you know what? I'm not exactly sure how much playing time we'll see out of him in the preseason, but definitely want to, he's a fascinating Ranger to discuss. Because it's like he's one of those Rangers from last year's roster, RP. I think when you look at him, if he plays better, plays better, because I think he played all right last year. If his production goes up, that's the way I want to word it. If his production goes up, I think the Rangers' playoff chances significantly goes up. As far as his availability, guys, you know, still played him a lot of, you know, play more, a little bit more games, but the production has got to be there with the quality of players that are coming in via free agency.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, let's see. All right, let's move on. Let's go a little different. Let's go with a defenseman. Let's go to Staal. Staal, from what I understand, still on the squad, and there's been rumblings with Rangers, like, you know, you guys, as far as writing articles and just with the team and just NHL all around, like, what were we going to do with Mark Staal? But as of right now, I got to speak as if he's still on the team. So I see him as a second liner defenseman. We already know he's been around for a long, long time. I hate to put him in this mentor role or whatever. We know he's a stay-at-home guy. I'm a kind of a guy who's more, you know, I like those traditional stay-at-home guys. I understand what you're saying, and a lot of people say, as far as you need guys who need to be more two-way in today's NHL. But nonetheless, Mark Staal, he is what he is. Now, going into this year, as far as whoever he's pairing with, and it's almost like saying we know what he is, but has he, you know, his physicality – getting a little bit up there in age. How do you feel as far as Mark Stahl going into whoever he's going to pair with? It could be any of those guys. It could be Fox. It could be, because we already talked about it before. I can't really vouch for Fox, so it's kind of like,
right,
Mark Stahl's defensively going another year, his age going up. What's your thoughts on Mark Stahl?
Well, I've said, first of all, I had a little offensive what you said, because I like the way Mark Stahl plays. I think every team needs that one sturdy stay-at-home defenseman. He clears in front of the net. He makes that good first pass. He can still take the body. He can still take a hit. And I think he's a warrior. I just always liked his style and the way he plays. If you look at the Rangers' defense, you have three guys that are locked in. I don't know where, but your locked guys are Trouba, Stahl, and Shea. Okay? Tony DeAngelo still not signed. Might be a holdout. I wrote about that today. It's been very quiet. It has a lot to do with the salary cap. It also has to do with he hasn't accepted his qualifying offer because, of course, he wants more money. So we don't know what's going on with him. And then you have right now on the roster Adam Fox, Lieber Hayek. So I don't know where they would put Stahl. I'm still, from what I've been reading everywhere, at least in the start of preseason, when they're both in the lineup, Shea and Trouba are going to start. If Brendan Smith is on the team, I would think Smith and Stahl might be a pair. Though the problem with that is you're not going to put Fox and Hayek together because they're two rookies. So if right. that is the case, I would probably see Stahl playing with Hayek and then Fox playing with either Brendan Smith or Anthony DeAngelo to start, if it all shakes the way it looks. There's a lot of ifs. The back end of the team is still a little undecided. But from an aspect of Mark Stahl alone, he's not going anywhere. The only way he was moving is if they were going to buy him out. The full no-move clause, he's not going anywhere with 2 years left on his contract. He's not going to approve any trade, in my opinion. The man plays – he played in 79 games last year, and all the people said that, you know, maybe he should have sat some games, and he wasn't playing – up to par. His age has caught up to him. We, you know, that's a factor with every player. But he can still play in this game. I mean, he's 32 years old. He played in 79 games. He played 19 minutes he averaged a game last year. For his career, he's averaging 20 minutes. So it's not a big fall or, you know, drop down in time. I think if the Rangers had a more solidified defense, he might be that third pair that gives him a little bit of a break, helps some of the younger guys, and doesn't need to play every valuable moment. But as the season progressed last year, he was getting more and more ice time. And you know, deservingly, he played well. So I like Stahl. I like his style. He still takes the body a lot. He blocks a ton of shots. He's smart on the ice. I think the team plays better when he's on the ice, believe it or not. And that might sound crazy. I really would like to see Stahl, believe it or not, with a guy like Shea. Because here, Brady Shea would know that he could rush up, take his offensive chances, and know Stahl's back there. And know that Stahl knows how to play defense. He can handle the two-on-one. He knows what to do with the puck. He might not be the fastest, but he knows what to do when he has the puck. He's not – I don't consider him a guy that panics when he has the puck, even if there's a guy on him. So, and I think those are attributes that you need on every team. So he's going to be here for the next 2 years. Let's accept that. I don't see – they didn't buy him out now. I don't see them buying him out next year. So, you know, it's the same thing with Lundqvist for that matter. These two guys are going to be here. And I just think Stahl just needs to keep playing the way that he's playing. And if the Rangers can just get a little bit tighter on defense, maybe he doesn't need to be playing 19 minutes a game. Maybe if you brought his minutes down to 15 minutes a game with an emphasis on the second half of a contest, well, when the game gets really tight and close, that's where I think he could really explode. You know, it's like when we talk about Hank. If you don't play him a lot of games early in the season, maybe he'll be stronger at the end of the season. It's always the other way around. He always comes out, for the most part, really strong, and then they overplay him, and he fizzles out. And that's going to happen. The reality of the world is these guys are getting older. They're not old, but in hockey world, they're old. I mean, Stahl is playing against Jack Hughes. He's playing with Okako. These guys are fast. They're smart. They train year-round. It's a different animal right now. So I think they need to utilize what Stahl gives them in order to make the entire team more productive.
Correct. I mean, that is a great point as far as minutes. Like, management wise, if you're going into the new, I would say new regime, but the new era of Rangers, you would like to see more of these younger guys get more time. But the thing about Mark Stahl is he plays a lot of games and he plays a lot of minutes. And at what point do you say you kind of treat it like Hank Lundqvist? Like, how do you look at, like, do you treat it similar? I mean, I know they're two different positions, but as far as the theory, do you think we could get more out of him if we played him less, played him more in some meaningful games? I mean, as far as being a stay-home defenseman, I mean, you can never, ever underestimate the defenseman checking the best, or let's say, not maybe not necessarily the top scorer, but always putting an assignment on one of the second leading scorers on the shooters, the sniper on the other team. And Mark Stahl, since he's been in the league with the Rangers, I mean, he's been there since, what, 06, 07? I mean, he's been here, what, 12 years. Been there for a very, very long time. He's seen it all. And you can never underestimate throwing his body on the number two forward, maybe not necessarily the sniper, like, because you've seen those years, you know, they threw him on Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin. Maybe he won't have that excitement. But as far as slowing down the other secondary, third scoring guys on the other team, that, and he's not going to get any smaller as far as height. I mean, his frame is 6'3", 6'4". So the point is, what I'm saying is, at what point do you utilize him to get maximum effort out of him while trying to implement the new guys? I agree with you as far as the first defenseman pairing. I think that's set in stone. I don't think they're going to change that. I mean, they might throw a game here and there, they'll swap it. But what about, you talk about Hayek or Fox? I mean, I think this is where we're going to as far as pairings. Or if you're talking about, who's the other guy? Smith.
Mm-hmm. I think it had a lot of it had to do with coaching. I think last year with Quinn being a rookie coach, he had a few guys that he really relied on. Stahl, Jesper Fast, Ryan Strome towards the end, of course, Zibanejad. And being in the position that Quinn was in, if things got tough, he's going to go with the guys that he feels he can trust. And Stahl was one of those guys. And fans were saying, oh, that's crazy. He's horrible. He's this, he's that. He's a solid stay-home defenseman, which the newer generation fans aren't used to seeing. These guys are used to P.K. Subban. These guys are used to a Victor Hedman, that style of aggressive, high-scoring, flying defenseman. I come from a different generation. I'm used to a Barry Beck. I'm used to a Jeff Vukabum. I'm used to a Mark Stahl, a Dan Girardi. These guys who battle in front, and their job as a defenseman is to keep the other guy from scoring. So I think Quinn last year was more of, when it came down to a tight game or tight situations, or if other guys were playing bad, he went with Mark Stahl. And that was great, but that added a lot of minutes. And Stahl was 32 years old and played 79 games last year. That's a lot of games. And he played a lot of minutes in those games. He averaged almost 19, 25 a game, almost a whole period a game he played. That's a lot of hockey. I mean, like I said before, his career average is 2048. So 12 years in the league, he's going into his 13th season. He's played a lot of hockey. I mean, he's taken a beat and he's had some big injuries, and he constantly is the warrior that keeps coming back. But I think to answer your question a little bit, if you want to keep Stahl's ice time down and keep him on the bench, then you need to have four other defensemen that can play some minutes that you can trust and rely on. Right now, the Rangers don't have that. They really don't. When you look at the whole six defensemen on the roster, not including some guys that they may or may not bring up. So it's going to be a little tight for them to keep him, his minutes down. You know, if they bring up an Igor Rakov, we'll assume they're going to go with seven defensemen. They have six on the roster right now, so there is another spot for someone to come up. It could be Ryan Lindgren. It could be Rakov. I don't think it would be a Tom and Runen. But mind you, these are all rookies. These are all guys that are 22, 21 years old. They're in the beginning of their career. They're on their first contracts. There's a lot to learn in the game. How many rookie defensemen are you going to bring on your team? And that's what I think fans have to realize. Everyone's saying, oh, the rebuild's over. All the Rangers should make the playoffs. oh, they just definitely make it to the second round. There's a lot of work to be done here. Panarin and Truba are a huge improvement on the team. But on the back end, if you really look at it, Steve, they're down one starting defenseman from last year because they got rid of Shattenkirk. So they lost Shattenkirk and they picked up Truba. So how much more better is Truba than Shattenkirk? It's a definite huge improvement. But from a team standpoint, they didn't improve. They need to improve more is what I'm trying to say. They need to get better on the blue line. And until they do, Stahl's going to be a top three defenseman. He's probably going to – I see him in the top four.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right.
Right now,
top three sounds right. Top three sounds right.
Now, if Anthony DeAngelo comes in, could it be DeAngelo? The only reason why it wouldn't be DeAngelo and Stahl is because, as I said, then you're either going to have Fox and Hayek or Brendan Smith. And you can't have two rookie defensemen starting the season off. Maybe after 35 games and you really see what they have. Because like we've said, we haven't seen Fox. What do we see? Four games out of Hayek. You don't know what you have yet. So Stahl by default might be a third pair defenseman because of the pairings, but that might benefit him too. So I hate to say it, but that's that wait and see kind of deal. Let's see what these guys do in preseason. There is opportunities for a defenseman that we're not talking about having a good camp and, you know, maybe stealing a spot. Where, you know, if you can make the top seven, then you've got a chance to get into the lineup if you practice really hard. The other thing that helps the Rangers, Steve, is their schedule. The Rangers only play 5 games in the first 16 days of the regular season. They have a very, very unusual schedule. I don't know if you've really looked at it.
I definitely did.
I don't understand, and it has nothing to do with the NHL bye and any of that crap. For some reason, that's how they schedule it out. They sort of staggered. I don't know if they did it with many of the other teams, but I didn't look overall at what the other teams' schedule-wise was. But they have a real light schedule to start. So you don't really have to worry about the first 3 weeks of the schedule. You know what I'm saying? The first 3 weeks, you really don't have to worry about it.
I did see that. Yeah, well, I did see that, and I kind of, like, when I saw it, my thoughts was kind of like, well, damn, I mean, there's a lot of spaces in between games. How are you going to catch a groove? How are you going to play when you get off the gate? Especially on a young season with a young team, you kind of want to see games where, you know, you play, win or lose, and you want to get right back out there and put it out there, see what kind of consistency you could build on. And then the early on schedule, what I did see, and I didn't, to your point, I didn't do it with the other teams because I was just focused on the Rangers. I'm like, wow.
But that could benefit the Rangers.
Hopefully they can build some wins. Huh?
Well, that could also benefit the Rangers because if you play a game and the coach finds some mistakes and all, it'll give them a little bit of time to, I guess, to practice on what they're really struggling with early on. They open up on the 3rd against Winnipeg, and then they go to Ottawa on the 5th of October.
But my,
and then they're off
the way I was,
until the 12th.
Yeah, you're right. That is true. That is true. But my thing was,
and it's
I
a home game. It's a lot of practice.
I was kind of hoping that type of leeway in the schedule. Maybe there is one later in the year where, if the injuries was to accumulate, we could have that break. You know,
They do have that bye week. I think in January. I think so. But you know something? You talk about them getting into a groove after that game at Edmonton on the 12th. It's really unusual.
That Saturday game, they play
Ottawa, and then they're off Sunday through Saturday until Saturday night, the 12th against Edmonton, and then they're off another 4 days, and then Thursday the 17th and the 18th as a Friday, they got a home and home in New Jersey, at Washington. And then they play every other night. Then they have 5 home games after that. So the Rangers are going to go from playing very little to getting thrown to the wolves a little bit. But I think with the young team and the inexperienced defense, that schedule may help them. And another thing, not to cut you off, maybe Lundqvist, Georgiev, whoever it is, gets hot. And that might be the time they really start to play well. October needs to be a really good month for the Rangers. And the schedule favors them between not a lot of games early and then 5 home games against some tough teams. Let's be realistic. Vancouver, Arizona, Buffalo, Boston, and Tampa Bay ends October. Nothing crazy, manageable games to play and win. But I really look forward to, at that point of the season, you might have a better idea of what's going on. Maybe the team makes some call-ups. You don't know. But you're going to have an idea when October ends of what the team is, because home ice is going to be huge, and they have a lot of home games in October to start.
Right. But putting that all together, let's bring this back to Mark Staal. So, you know, utilizing him for those games, I mean, you're going to overload him with more minutes, so it's going to favor him as far you want to keep him at his pace, what he was last year, or you want to try to increase the load
like
for somebody else?
Well, I'd like to increase the load for somebody else. I don't think you need to overwork him, especially those first five games. I mean, let's be realistic. Once you get to the Devils and the Capitals, you're going up against Taylor Hall, you're going up against Jack Hughes, you're going up against Ovechkin, Backstrom, TJ Oshie. He's going to get a lot of ice time in those games, especially if the defensive crop hasn't changed from where it is when the season starts. So you're going to want to play him, but maybe you can, since you don't have to worry about long stretches of hockey games, you can play him a lot of minutes if you need to, if the other guys aren't doing their job, then at least you know he'll get some time off. I mean, we all know how Quinn coaches. If it's like last year, he doesn't bench plays as much as, this is what you did wrong, and now I want you to watch them. But I don't know if he's going to have that luxury this year if he only has seven defensemen up, if he even carries seven defensemen. We don't know what they're carrying anyway, but if it goes in years past, if he goes with seven defensemen, he's only going to be able to sit one of them down at a time. And I don't think it's going to be Staal unless he has a really poor start. So he's going to get the minutes. And my other theory is if you're on the team, you should be playing. So he's going to have to manage. Quinn and the coaching staff are going to have to manage Staal's time against the quality of the teams that he's playing. So maybe you don't play him as much against Ottawa. Maybe you don't have to play him as much against the Oilers. The Devils and the Capitals, he's going to have to play a lot. Arizona's a good squad. Buffalo's up and coming. They should have a fair year. Boston and Tampa Bay, he's going to be playing all over the place. So I think it's going to go like what you said a little bit earlier. It's also going to depend on who you're playing that night.
Right.
That's going to have a lot to do with
it.
I would like to see his minutes come down, but with the crop of defensemen they have, if I'm saying he's in the top three, how do you decrease his minutes? If he's a top three defenseman right now, I mean, that's why Brendan Smith didn't get bought out. And let me tell you something, a lot is riding on Smith. Because if he plays bad, they're going to put him in the minors. They're going to dump him. They'll eat the salary, they'll put him in the minors, they're going to bring someone else up. Because if things didn't change the way they did with the cap and with the Panarin signing and the Trouba contract, Shattenkirk, even though as bad as he played, might not have been the guy to get bought out. It might have been Smith. But when it came down to how they were $5 million over, or almost $4.5 million, I should say, over the salary cap, they had to buy out Shattenkirk. Because they would have bought out Smith, they still would have been compliant. So at least when they made the Shattenkirk buyout, they were compliant with the cap situation. And that's also another reason why they haven't made any trades. Because the Rangers have such a light schedule to start that they can send guys up and down and still keep compliant with the salary cap, even if D'Angelo takes his qualifying offer, at least until they start getting a lot of games at one time. There's a lot of math and all going to it, but the bottom line of it is Staal right now tonight is their top three defensemen, and he's going to play those minutes until they can figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much it for those guys. I mean, when we're looking at the games, not preseason when it comes to Staal, maybe not necessarily with Buchnevich, because I don't think that's going to really matter for both of these guys when it comes to preseason. But especially regular season, we're going to definitely discuss it on post games and in between games. I think we kind of hit on all the points because we know what Staal is. We want to see the more production out of Buchnevich. When it comes to Staal, I would like to see his. I say he's a top three based off of his experience. Doesn't necessarily mean he should play more. It's more to me. It's more about what the other guys that we have are trying to have that extra defenseman to the table. What could they bring?
Yeah.
I mean, Staal is a solid guy, and he's a pro's pro. I say, you know, we'll play him, and there's going to be times like all the points you already hit as far as how are we going to utilize them, especially within the first 2-3 weeks in October. So I mean, it's, to me, it's Stahl. When I think about Stahl, and it's going to be more so regular season and how the coaches are going to utilize them, where Buchnevich is a kind of more production, has got the step up, because I don't think Stahl is what it is. You know, that's not even saying it's a knock. I'm not saying that as a knock. We just know. You know what you're getting. You know what you're getting out of him.
And it's also two different positions altogether, two different responsibilities.
Absolutely.
We need Buchnevich to put the puck in the net. We need him to be more productive.
Yeah, that's important.
You know,
that's very important.
I mean, I'm assuming that we all believe he's a top six forward. So you have to earn your right to stay up there. You know, years on the team means nothing. He needs to be putting the puck in the net. And I think the Rangers need to find chemistry early in the season. I hope Quinn doesn't start what Alain Vigneault started to do a lot towards the end, when we really bouncing lines around after two or three games. Sometimes, especially with some new players, and they're going to have a lot of new players on the team. Kravtsov, Kako, Panarin, Truba. There's a lot going on. You need to give them a little bit of time to get together. And like you just said, in preseason, sometimes it's hard to get that chemistry because the coaching staff is looking – in preseason, the coach is looking at individual skill. And what are you doing for the team? And are you playing the defensive style I want you to play? And are you playing the offensive style that I'm implementing? And that's a lot of times an individual aspect on a team sport. When the regular season starts, then you're looking for that five-man unit. You're looking for those five-man unit power plays. You're looking for that consistency. You're looking for that chemistry more. So that's why preseason this year I think is more important than in other years, because even though the team is set on the forward-wise for the most part, there are a lot of questions. There's a lot of chemistry questions that you're not going to see. People may say that's overrated, but it's really not. You want to be able to see and know where your partner is going to be. I think we're trying to see Panarin and Banner have that chemistry.
Yeah, but I think that has a lot more weight for Buchnevich in that case when it comes to preseason and the Stahl. Pretty obvious.
I agree.
So,
without a doubt.
I mean,
we're
in agreement. We're in agreement. We're in agreement. I have nothing else to add for these two men. RP, any final thoughts before you head down there to Disney and all that great food and vacation life out there? Because we'll be back Tuesday after. Because then we'll be back Tuesday after Labor Day, and then we'll have a couple of weeks to break down any other Rangers. Then we get into some real game preseason action shortly there after that, a couple of weeks later after that. But final thoughts from you, sir. You said the Tony DeAngelo article. You want to tell everybody, the audience, as far as your thoughts on that.
Well, it just really quick with the DeAngelo situation, he didn't take his qualifying offer. He hasn't accepted his qualifying offer. It has a lot to do with the years. If DeAngelo signs only a two-year contract, which with the Rangers supposedly are offering sort of a bridge contract, when his contract expires, he'll be a restricted free agent with arbitration rights next time. If he gets a three-year deal or longer, whenever that contract ends, he'd be an unrestricted free agent. And he might be holding out looking for that, not to go through another RFA contract. Of course, there's money involved in it. The qualifying offer was his salary last year, plus 5%, which I think came up to like $2 million. A lot of money, but he just must be looking for something more. There hasn't been a lot of talk about contracts. We haven't heard a snippet about Brendan Lemieux. He's in the exact same spot. So that's just what I wrote about. It's been really quiet. It might go down. There's a lot of restricted free agents, about 25 of them, top names out there that really haven't done anything, haven't signed, haven't really been spoken about. I think everyone's waiting for the shoe to drop, and then things will roll out. So you might not see the Rangers make a trade or an announcement of a deal to closer into preseason. Obviously, if the player's not on a contract and doesn't have his own insurance, he can't participate in practices or anything. So we're going to wait on that. And another quick thing, the good thing about these writing some of these stories, today I learned that Mika Zibanejad is a frequent fluent speaker of Finnish, and him and Kako have spoken already. They haven't met, but they have spoken, and he's on his way. He's supposed to be here next week. I found an article from Finnish newspaper and all, and I wrote quickly about that. It just got published and posted. So if you guys want to check that out, it's on Ranger Proud. I put it on your Facebook page, and just to check it out, just some little interesting things that you just really don't hear him talking, and a little bit of translation was a little bit off. But it was just good. He's excited to come over. He's ready to come over. He's not coming with his family. He's doing it the pro way, he said. He's coming on his own. He's 18. He's going to figure it out. He's going to be very tight with Zibanejad, it looks like, to start, because at least he knows someone could speak his native tongue. He's mm-hmm. trying to speak English. I saw him with an interview with Dave Maloney that was re-aired from last month, and he understands English, and he gets the word down. It takes a little bit of time. But these guys take great pride in that. They want to be able to communicate with the media, with their own teammates. So I'm looking forward. I'm really looking forward to seeing him play every day for the Rangers. I think they got an exciting player. And that's my final thought.
Final thought from Ranger Proud, man. Enjoy the vacation. Enjoy the bye week. We will be back the Tuesday after Labor Day. That's going to be fun to get to the rest of these Rangers and head into some preseason hockey shortly thereafter. And that's good as far as Kako. I mean, I don't expect anything less, man. I mean, that's the professional move by Mika Zibanejad. Actually, that's a captain. That's captainish move by Zibanejad for taking the lead on that. So that doesn't surprise me. That's the kind of character. Huh?
You said it. I'm waiting for them to put the C on him this year. They absolutely really put me the captain.
Well, you called
Steve,
it.
I've gone through it. You got to name a captain. You can't keep going with an alternate and assistants. You need to name – someone needs to – this is an original six hockey club. I don't care who it is at this point, but someone needs to step up and take that role. And if Zibanejad's doing all this already on the ice and off the ice, opening night they announce him, yeah.
Yeah, if you're campaigning like that, I mean, that's showing leadership. You got to, I mean, that's just actions right there, man. You got to give that guy the C, man. Especially what you've been doing the last couple of years, man. And he's fan favorite and everything. And I mean, that fan favorite doesn't necessarily have to do with captainship, but your actions as far as leading the charge and bringing players in and making them comfortable, man, that goes a long way, man. And especially coming off the year that you're having in a bad year. I think there's a lot of weight to that. So they may have to do something about that sooner or later, man. All right, Ranger Proud, RP, bye week. We'll be back Tuesday after Labor Day. It's been fun. We'll have the article. I'll share the article on Twitter as well, on Instagram, and put it out there on D'Angelo and Capco that you put on the Ranger Proud page on Elite Sports New York. So sangre azul, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.